All right, let's take our Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of James and chapter number 4. We'll look at verse number 8 as a springboard. Good to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. I did call my wife. I told her, I said, I don't even think they cared that I was there. Since you weren't. And she said, well, did you start a series? I said, no. But I will. She said, what on? I said, Book of Esther. I said, it's the only thing I think is going to work. Since she's not here, though, I have come up with what I call a rule of success for a good marriage. Rule, I come up with it myself. I don't have any Bible for it, but I think it'll work. A successful marriage, I call it 50-50. Now, since I'm a man, I'm going to speak to the men primarily to give you this success in marriage that I think will work. 50-50. Okay, men, are you listening? Yes, sir. I heard one. Are you listening, men? 50-50. What you do is 50% of the time you listen to that wife. No matter what she says, how she says it, or where you're at when she says it, or what mood she's in when she says it, 50% of the time you listen to that wife. The other 50%, keep your mouth shut. And if that won't work, I don't know what will. I often tell young couples, I say, now the one rule that you need to abide by is never go to bed mad at one another. Never. Stay up and fight. It's more fun. All right. James chapter 4 and verse number 8. Draw nigh to God. That's amazing, isn't it? That we could draw nigh to God. And He will draw nigh to you. Do you notice the order that is placed here? Draw nigh to God. Move in His direction. And He'll move in your direction. I want tonight, for a moment or two, to preach on what I call the principle and promise of you first. I do believe that God is sovereign. He is the initiator, the beginning and the ending of all things. Without Him, we could do nothing. Without Him was not anything made that was made. But I also believe that while God is setting up things in His movement for what you desperately need, God moving, setting up things for what you desperately need. And then once He sets it up, He will go no further. He will do no more until you make the next move. There will be times that God will be through moving. He will lay it in your lap and say, now it's up to you to move first. And could it be that many of us are in desperate situations and we need something from God? And we have been praying to that end and saying, oh God, would you do something? But it might be that we turn that around and we say, Lord, in the midst of what I'm asking you to do, is there something that you want me to do first that will be the key to unlocking the door to what I want you to do? A principle and a promise of the Word of God. It is found throughout the Scriptures, illustrated throughout the Scriptures. Let's think about some other verses that emphasize this. You first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Do you see that principle and promise? So many times we're waiting on God to do something while he's waiting on us to do what he wants us to do first. A principle and a promise. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. You open the door first. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you're going to have to come first. You're going to have to knock first. You're going to have to ask first. You're going to have to seek first. You're going to have to move in his direction first. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But you'll have to call first. Are you waiting on God to do something when he's not going to do it? He's waiting on you. He has set everything up, but he's gone as far as he's going to go. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. My favorite verse is Luke 6 and verse 38. Give you first. You see that? You first give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. But you first. What is it tonight that you are in desperate need of God moving or doing something? But yet he has pointed it out into your heart that if you will do this first, it will be the key that unlocks the door and releases me to do what I want to do. Now, it's a principle throughout the Word of God. The splitting of the Red Sea. But before that's going to happen, Moses will have to raise the rod first. The children of Israel need to cross the Jordan. It needs to be rolled back. But before that's going to happen, the priests will have to put their foot in the overflowing Jordan. The walls of Jericho, that first city that has to come down, can come down and will come down, but only after the children of Israel march around it. Jesus has no problem turning water into wine, but somebody first will have to fill the water pots. He can even bring a man forth from the dead, Lazarus, but he will not do so until they take the stone away. There's a lot of things that God can do and will do if you are willing to do what he wants you to do first. And the hold up is not him. Oh, don't we all like to put the onus on God? Well, we just want God to do something. Well, he's done a whole lot. But now he's waiting on you. He will speak to your heart in that difficult place and say, here, this is what you must do first. And then I will answer your prayer and do what you want me to do. You first. It's all over the scriptures. Four things that I want to say about this matter of you first. I think in this matter of you first, what the Lord is doing is letting us know that he wants us to have a part in what he is doing. We who are imperfect working with him who is perfect. We who are human operating in the realm of the divine. We who are unholy working with him that is holy. The earthly in cooperation with him who is heavenly. Now God, we know, can do anything he wants to. And he doesn't need anybody's help. But what I find after the time of creation, search the scriptures, God never did anything but what he didn't use somebody. He will touch the heart of some man, some lady, some boy, or some girl. Pull them in to his workings and work through their obedience and through their faith to accomplish what he wants done. Using a man like Moses to instigate this splitting of the, using the priest and a simple footstep down into the Jordan to push back the waters of the, using the people to walk around a city to bring it down, using those who would carry the water so then he would turn it into wine, or using those to take a stone away so that he then would bring Lazarus from the dead. He is allowing them to be a part of his divine work. God is not interested in having a bunch of children that are spectators. He wants those who are participators. He wants you to know the thrill of being able not only to watch but engage in what he is doing. It is the thrill of it all. To be able to, oh, now listen, what God asks you to do won't be much worth bragging on. Because anybody could do it. Anybody can raise a stick. Anybody can put their feet in water. Anybody can walk around a city. Anybody can carry some water and put it in a vessel. And anybody can move a stone. But if you will do what he personally wants you to do, then you will witness what only God can do, and He will let you work hand in hand, the human with the divine. Oh, He doesn't need you. He doesn't have to have you, but He wants you to be in what He is doing. He can do it by Himself, but He won't. He can split that sea by Himself, but He won't. He can push that Jordan back, but He won't. He can bring the walls down, but He won't. There's a lot He can do in your life if He wants to do it, but He won't until you first do what He wants you to do. And once you do, oh, the joy and the thrill of participating with God in divine miracles. Because everything God does is divine. It is heavenly, and it is a miraculous thing. And I'm thinking about those miracles here that I have mentioned, and those who got to play a part in it. So that in the aftermath, when they heard others discuss it, they could say, "Man, what are you talking about? I was there. I was in on that. I had a part in that." I'm thinking about the taking of the stone away for Lazarus. A few days later, in a different community, the news has spread abroad. "Did you hear that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead?" And a guy raises his hand and he's got it wrapped up. He said, "Man, are you kidding? I was one of the ones that had to push that thing out of there. I mean, I've got blisters all over my hands and I can't hardly walk right now. I'm telling you, it's a tough job to get that large stone out of the way. But I'm so glad I was a part of it. My hands were handling what God and a part of what God was doing. Find out what God wants you to do, and it'll unleash what only God can do, and He'll let you be a part of it." Yes. I love to listen to my wife's grandfather, who was an old-time mountain preacher up around Boone, but he preached in all those counties around there. And he would tell the stories of who God saved at different places. But in every story, he would seem to preface it with a wrestling match with God, and how God would be pressing him to do something, and he didn't see the sense or didn't feel like that he was the man for the job. But he said in each instance, though not knowing what he was saying, "I did what God wanted me to do." And then in the midst of it all, there would be some prominent person that I knew that God had saved in that meeting simply because he did what God wanted him to do. Who knows what child God will save? Who knows what individual God will heal? Who knows what revival God will bring if God's people will do what He wants them to do and move first? It may not be time for God to do anything. He may have already done what He needs to do. He's waiting on you, and He's waiting on me. So in this matter of you first, it is simply God allowing us the joy of ministering with Him and allowing Him to minister through us. The second thing I would say to you is, in this matter of you first, it is not only God allowing us to work with Him, but it is God showing us what we can receive or what can be found in the initiation of us moving first. It has come our time. God is waiting on us to move. We do not realize the wealth that lies beyond the simplicity of the move that he asks us to make. As I've said, it'll be something that anybody can do. All I need you to do is to raise a rod. All I need you to do is to step in the Jordan. All I need you to do is to walk around that city. In each instance, it'll be something so simple that God asks us to do that we do not realize that in the midst of that simple step, just to take it, it will open up the abundance and the power of what God alone can do for our lives. He is letting us see what lies beyond our obedience. Now, in those verses that I read to you, and I'll not take the time to read them, I noticed in this matter of you first, there was so much that came out of it. He said, if you just go first and knock, something's going to be open for you. If you will just go first and seek, something is going to be found that you're going to need. If you will simply come, you will find the rest that only I can give. If you will ask, you will get the answers that no one else can give you. If you will look, you will be able to see what others will never be able to see. If you will give, it will be given unto you, poured out and running over. In other words, there is no way to calculate. There is no way to know what's going to come out of you taking that first step, or you raising that rod, or you pouring that water, or you putting your foot in the jar. There's no way to know the abundance until you have taken the step. And then once you do, God will open up and show you things and give you things and do things that you never imagined could happen. Now understand, in all of these situations, they are desperate, needful situations. And what God will do is he will work you into a position. He will bring you to a precipice of a certain need of which you desperately need. And it is there that he will say, all right, it is your move. You go first. And then beyond that move opens up what God is wanting to do all along. But listen to me. To be able to witness that, to be able to experience that, you will have to go first. What did he say? James 4 and verse number 8. Draw nigh to God. What's going to happen if you do that? Oh, here comes a big God in your direction. What did he say? Call unto me. What's going to happen when you call unto him? You're going to hear the voice of God and you're going to get the answer. Knock and it shall be open. I say to you, those simplicities of the move that he wants you to make, when you do, it opens up the answer to your desperate situation. And I don't want to take the time to get into what the situation in your life is. It may be a family situation. It may be a marriage situation. It may be a son or daughter situation. It may be a physical situation, financial situation. It may be a job. I don't know what it is or where you are at of which you are praying and asking God to do something. But I believe in every situation, the heart of the matter will be your willingness to move when God tells you to move. That will unleash what God is able to do that you want him to do. It is God in this you first allowing us to be a part of what he's doing. It is God allowing us to experience and to see what will come out of going first. But thirdly, I would say to you in this matter of you first, it is God letting us catch a glimpse of what we're going to miss if we don't go first. Think about it. If you don't open the door, what happens? If you don't knock, what happens? If you don't seek, what happens? If you don't give, what happens? If you don't come, truth of the matter is you'll live your whole life never knowing what you could have known if you had just went when God told you to go. Pastored a little church in the mountains of North Carolina between Spruce Pine and Newland for 18 years. I had told those people it is my desire to be here the rest of my life. I want to die here. And that's what I wanted to do. And it seemed as though that it was moving in that direction smoothly. Everything operating good. God blessing. And I started preaching on Abraham. Should have left him alone. How God called him out of the land of the Chaldees by faith. I'll never forget, I was down in front preaching about how God was calling Abraham on that journey to that city, to that country. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart right in the middle of the sermon and said, "That's not for them." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "That's not for them." I said, "Well, who's it for?" He said, "It's for you." I said, "Lord, what are you talking about?" Now, they don't know this is going on, but you ever have him talk to you in the middle of a sermon? It gets pretty tight. I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "It's time for you to leave." I said, "Oh, God, I don't want to leave. Where do you want me to go?" He said, "You'll just have to trust me. You're going to have to leave." I struggled, I fought, I wrestled, and I lost. But here's the thing that got me. Is every time I would stand to preach at those blessed people there at Temple Baptist Church, the Holy Ghost said, "You're preaching in the wrong place. I got someplace else for you." When I lay my head on my pillow at night, I would think, "Oh, Lord, what am I missing? What am I missing? I don't want to go, but what am I missing?" I'd wake up in the morning, and the first thought is, "What is it that you have for me? I like it right here. You mean to tell me you got something better than right here?" He'd whisper back and say, "I sure have, but you're going to have to come before you find out." And I remember that day, 25 years ago, that I called the men of the church together on this Saturday night, told them what they didn't know what I was going to say. I said, "God has told me to leave. No problems. I'm not mad. It's just, he said I got to go. I don't want it to be a funeral around here, so I beg you, don't make me come back for a month or two. I'm done. Let this be it." They were gracious. And I walked off. Man, was I scared. I said, "Lord, I can't preach good enough to get enough meetings to even live off from. I'm not a good preacher." He said, "I know that. I just won't tell them." I thought I'd have to get me a sign that said, "We'll preach for food." But I want to tell you something. The 25 years since the day I walked off has been the most glorious, abundant, blessed days of my life. And had I not moved, he wasn't going to do no more. He is waiting on me. It wasn't that God couldn't do something. He done something. He's waiting on me. And it wasn't until I took that step and moved beyond first that I was able to see what I was going to miss had I not moved first. And had I not taken that step, I would not even be here tonight. But God, once I took that step, began to open up what he wanted for my life. and allow me to be a blessing to others for their lives. It is God allowing us to be a part of what He's doing. It's God letting us see what's in and a part of what He, but it is God allowing us to see in this what we're going to miss. I don't want to miss what God can do because I wouldn't obey. I've thought about this. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they got 12 together to go spy out the land. 10 of them came back and said, it's a bad report. We can't go. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They are giants. Joshua and Caleb said, oh, but God said we could. And we need to move now. They convinced all of those that were 20 years old and above not to move. And so God said, because you have rejected my will, then all of those that are 20 years old and above will never see the promised land. Only those 20 years and below were able to witness the pushing back of the Jordan, the bringing down of the walls of Jericho, the conquering of the cities and the slayings of the giants and the taking of the land. They never witnessed any of it because they would not move first. Now, God could have split the Red Sea no matter what. But if Moses had said, well, you know, Lord, I got a little arthritis in my arm right now, and don't make sense to me. I ain't just raising up no rod. What's that got to do with? If Moses hadn't raised the rod, what would have happened? Oh, my. If the priest had said, you know, I don't like that. Water that is overflowing, if I'm not putting my foot down that muddy Jordan, what would have happened? If the children of Israel had refused to walk around the walls of Jericho, what would have happened? If those who had been bidden to carry the water to put it in the jugs and vessels to turn it into wine had refused to do so, what would have happened? And if those who were on that day when the Lord said to them, take the stone away, what would have happened if they hadn't taken the stone away? Your guess is as good as mine. But thank God we don't have to guess. They all did what they were supposed to do. And I don't want to leave my journey on this earth wondering what God could have done if I had have only done what He wanted me to do. You first! There will be that whisper from heaven. There will be that call from God. There will be that unctioning and initiation of saying, hey, I'm right here, I'm caught, but you're going to have to move in my direction. I'll get as close as you want to get, but you've got to move in my direction. What is it that God could do and would do if you will be obedient? Now, the last thing I would say to you, in this matter of you first, and this is for all of us, I promise you this. This is a principle and promise of the Word of God on every level. That in some way, He's going to get you to the place to where it's going to be left up to you to move if you're going to be able to see Him to do anymore. And in vain would we ask, in vain would we expect that God would move any further until we have moved when He has asked us to. Oh, it's allowing us to be a part of what He is doing. Wow. It's allowing us to see what comes out of what He is doing. It's allowing us to catch a glimpse of what we will miss if we do not go first. But here's my last thought. And it's my favorite one. If you will go first, with what God has spoken in your heart. Because you're in park right now. If he's telling you to do something, you're in park. And the sad thing about that is God's waiting on you. In that matter of what he's speaking to your heart about, the simplicity of maybe apologizing to someone or asking someone to forgive you or whatever the issue may be in your life of which God has said, you're going to have to do
Listen.
Or maybe he gets in your billfold and says, here, if you want me to bless your life, you're going to have to give. And you'll never get beyond that. It'll stay right there. Stay right there. The story ends right there. Yes. But, here's the exciting thing. Amen. If you move first, Amen. You'll find out you never were first anyhow.
Yeah. Right.
Because the only way you're going to find it, the only way, listen to me, you'll have to move first. To find out God has been there all along first, ready to do what needed to be done. He's always first, but you'll have to move first to find out he's first.
Amen. That's all right, Amen. Doc. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you, he wrought out the plan of salvation for us. Did he not? A lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But he brought that gospel to you and he said, now, do you want it? Call on me and you can have it. Huh? I never heard a man or a woman who ever called on him and got it that thought they were first.
Right.
Nobody got up and said, well, if it hadn't been for me, nothing would have happened. No. What you know was is God was working on both sides at the same time, drawing you and setting things up to where when you come together, you knew it was him all along. If he said, come to me, that means he's already there. If he said, open the door, that means he's on the other side. If he says, ask, that means he's ready to give. He's already got the solution. Moses, try me. Raise that rod, boy. Raise it and find out. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? I mean, going with God, what do you got to lose? You're in a bad shape anyway.
Have it, Doc. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Don't mumble jumble around, Moses. You got Pharaoh's army there in the Red Sea. Raise the rod. What do you got to lose? Going with God.
Yeah.
Raise that rod, he figured out real quick that God had already been there setting that thing up, just waiting on him to raise a stick to show him what he could do.
Amen.
He's wanting to show you what he can do. He's wanting to show you he's in charge of everything anyway. He's wanting to show you he's first, he's not last. There ain't nothing ahead of him, but you'll have to go first to find it out. Put your foot down the Jordan. What do you got to lose? Huh? Hey, children. Greatest thing in your life is to find out that God was already there. He's just waiting for you to find out he's first in everything.
Yes.
He's got everything set up. So you need water turned into wine? Fill those vessels. Well, what you got to lose?
Right. Right,
Doc. Yeah. It ain't like you got a whole lot of other options. What do you got to lose? You can't move. What do you got to lose? You can't swim across that ocean. What do you got to lose? You can't get across that Jordan. What do you got to lose? You can't bring them walls down by yourself. What do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? You can't raise the dead. What do you got to lose? Just do what I tell you to do. You go first. And you find out that I've been around a long time waiting on you.
Amen.
mighty works that comes out of God going first. Oh, woo! Can't you feel that? I like it when he goes first. And all it took was for me to go to first, find out that I wasn't first after all. He's waiting to do that. He's waiting to do that. Huh? So much so that in all of those instances, somebody said, "Man, Moses, what's it take to split a Red Sea?" He said, "Well, this. God does it. Hey, priest, what's it take to split a mighty rushing Jordan?" I used to do this. So, wait a minute. How do you turn water into wine? Well, you just do this. How do you bring down the enemy's city, the major city? Jericho, how you bring it down? Just this. Ain't that how simple it is?
Amen.
He said, "All I want you to do is walk."
Amen.
Walk is all? We're gonna conquer this city and you just want me to walk? That's all I want you to do is walk. Because if you walk, you'll find out I'm in ahead of you and I'm in behind of you. And I'll bring these walls down. I can save that young man. I can deliver. I can do anything. And I'm setting you up for it. That's all he's doing. He's setting you up for something big.
Amen. Yeah.
He said, "Just seek me. Just call on me. Just ask. Just knock. Just seek." He said, "I'm just waiting on somebody to go first. You first." Did you see that in all them verses? Draw nigh to God. And it won't be no doubt who you're bumping into.
Right.
Oh, God. Yeah, well, who'd you expect? But you'll have to move first to find out he is first and what he can do. Lord, our prayer should be, "Lord, what is it that you want me to do first that will unlock everything you can do that I need done? Are you waiting on me?" You. Oh, God is saying, "You come. You call. You ask. You seek. You raise that arm and see what I can do. You put that foot down and see what I can do. You walk around that, see what. You pour that water in. You push on that stone and you're going to be surprised. But it'll have to be you first." I'm wondering what God would do if we were willing to do what he wants us to do. Let's stand. Might be a good time for us to bow our hearts before the Lord. Some of you already know what he's been dealing with your heart over. You can do it, but you've just not done it, and you've not been able to witness what comes. I'm going first. Good time to open our hearts. and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do that'll unlock the door to what you will do? I want to see you as first. It's a principle. And it's a promise of the Word of God. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you.